what is your musical background?
To be honest with you, I didn't really have any kind of, what you'd call a kind of traditional musical background, you know? You know, where I grew up, there wasn't that many conservatoires, you know what I mean? So, you know, I did what a lot of kids in Liverpool did and just basically taught myself to play guitar and kind of form my own band, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I sort of, I think my first band was actually a Beatles band when I was about 12 or 13. So we did kind of pop some stuff around Liverpool. And then I ended up becoming a session player when I left school and sort of toured and recorded with, you know, some of the local kind of Liverpool bands that were signed. And then when I was about 24, 25, I kind of got sick of all that stuff and sort of decided I wanted to do film scores because that was kind of what I really, in my heart, wanted to do. So I got a chance to write a couple of songs on this very small, low-budget British indie film called Leon the Pig Farmer. Mm-hmm. And I ended up writing the whole score for it. And that kind of started it all off, really, you know. I mean, that was the break. And I just kind of did a lot of low-budget British stuff. And it kind of went from there, to be honest. So that's about as much of a musical background as I ever had, you know. I kind of come from the rock and roll school of it all, you know. But it's, you know, I mean, a lot of guys kind of get there that way nowadays, which is great, you know. But so that's it, really.
You mentioned that you worked on Leon the Pig Farmer, but was there anything else that kind of brought you to the to write film and TV music?
That brought me to, I mean, I think that the original inspiration for doing, from what I can remember, I think what really made me feel that was what I wanted to do was, I remember when I was a kid seeing Fistful of Dollars, you know, and that tune, the theme kind of stuck in my head so much. You know, I became obsessed with the music for that film. And we didn't have videos or anything in those days, so it was, you know, I had to kind of get my mum to find a vinyl recording of the score, you know, and she got it for me, and I kind of played it to death. And then I kind of got hold of a few other copies of those spaghetti westerns, you know, those fantastic Ennio Morricone scores. And, you know, while all the other kids were getting into punk and stuff, I was kind of listening to these spaghetti westerns of a night after school, you know, kind of listening to these great guitar tunes and these big strings and voices. I just loved it. I loved it, you know, and I was kind of in a little world of my own with that stuff. And I think that was probably the moment, you know, that I thought. But, you don't think in those days. You don't think when you're a kid that you're going to end up actually doing it, you know. But that was where the love started, I think. With all those original spaghetti westerns and all those old vinyls, you know, just sitting there with these tinny headphones, trying to work out how he was doing it. But so that's kind of how it started.
Okay. So what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
I drink. No, it's true, actually. I actually kind of, you know, I get the movie and I kind of sit down with this few beers and play it over and over again without any music, you know, and kind of make notes and try to understand the you know, the story structure and the characters and everything, and just, you know, just make little notes. And then when I kind of think I've got a handle on the film, I kind of just get the tape rolling, and then I'll have another beer and then just jam along and see if any kind of spontaneous stuff just comes out, you know. Because it's good. I mean, you'd actually get a lot of, you can really overthink films, you know, when you're sort of planning them out. And sometimes it's good to just play it and kind of jam through it through the night, you know. Sometimes you get these very instinctive little tunes and ideas coming out. So, and then when the beers went out, I kind of wake up the next morning and do it properly, you know. But that's kind of how I started, really. Just try and keep it as loose and chilled out as I can, you know, before the stress hits.
Well, I first became aware of your music on the film Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. So how did you become involved with that movie?
That was a strange one, you know, because I hadn't really done that many films at the time, you know. I mean, I'd done kind of maybe 6 or 7 really low budget kind of British kind of horror films and stuff like that. And I'd been moaning to my agent, you know, saying, you know, these films are boring, can't you try and find, get me something, you know, cool or edgy or something where I could, you know, just do something of my own, you know. And literally about like a week later, he sent me a script with the worst title that I'd ever heard of any film in my life, which was Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, you know. It was this huge 250-page script. But it sounded like a spaghetti western or something, so I kind of read it straight away, and I just loved it, you know. It just had, I thought it was the coolest, funniest script I'd ever read, you know. So I rang up my agents and just said, look, I've got to do this film, I've got to meet with these guys, tell them I'll do this for nothing, tell them they've got a free composer here, I want to do this badly. So they set up a meeting, you know, and I met up with a guy, Matthew, in London, and it turned out that, you know, they were like big Ennio Morricone fans as well, and, and I think I liked the idea of, you know, having someone who was basically a songwriter more than a kind of traditional composer, you know. I think he liked the idea of that because, you know, he wanted to stylize the film with the songs, but he wanted the score for the film to almost be kind of part of that song vibe, you know.
Right.
You know, he didn't really want it to be like the songs and then the score. He wanted it all kind of meshing together. And I think, you know, we had nothing to lose because I was going to, you know, I said I was going to basically demo the whole film on spec if I had to get it, you know. And I think they just, I think they just wore them out, you know. So they gave me a chance of it. And he liked, you know, I mean, guy's very good at communicating, you know, he's very straight. So he gets what he wants across very easily, and I kind of knew what he wanted, you know. So I went away and I did all this kind of old-schooly, lo-fi kind of stuff that kind of really blended all of the songs together. And when they heard that pass, you know, they were really happy, and they said, look, okay, you got the job. So that was it, really. Just a lot of, I think, yeah, just wore my agent down and wore them down and offered to work for free. So there's good advice to all new composers, you know. Offered to work for free and don't give up. So that was basically how that one happened.
Right. So now how involved did Guy become in your music, or were you just kind of, go off and compose and bring me back something?
He was involved, you know. I mean, early on he played me some stuff which, tracks which he really liked, you know. He didn't know what scenes they were going to go in, but he just liked the vibe of them, or he liked the sound of them. And I realized that there was a real kind of, a lot of the things he was playing, even though they were from kind of different eras, they all had a very kind of compressed lo-fi kind of organic sound to them, these tracks, you know. So once I'd kind of figured out that that's what was getting them, you know, I just went away and kind of, you know, did my own thing with all that in mind, and he basically left me to it then, you know. You know, and he's one of these directors who kind of, he doesn't overthink things, Guy, you know. He basically hears something. You know, if he didn't like it, I'd just do something different. And if he liked it, it would just go in the film as it was, you know. You know, so to be honest, I mean, a lot of the score on Lockstock is actually, you know, demos, you know, kind of first time stabs at stuff that he just went, okay, don't change it. And it just kind of went in. And, you know, and I think a lot of the charm that kind of thrown together, hashed together, lo-fi charm of the score comes from the fact that, you know, there wasn't much time and we didn't really rework too much stuff, you know. I either did it again or that was it. So, but the real involvement was, you know, at the beginning, which is what I wanted, really.
Right, well, now Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels sounds like it was a very very loose project, but now you worked again with Guy in 2000 on the film Snatch. How did the approach change for this film?
I don't think it did, to be honest with you. You know, I think it's one of those things where Guy's films are very kind of singular to his personality, you know. I mean, they feel different to other films. You know, they're very, very character-driven, and you know, it's not about the film itself having themes. You know, all of the comedy, the humor, is from the characters and the dialogue between the characters. And so, you know, Snatch was very similar to Lock, Stock in that way. And in the same way that we didn't really have a main theme as such for Lockstock, it was all these character themes, because he tends to have a lot of different characters and it can be confusing sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, in Lockstock, I basically, in a very two-dimensional way, just put a theme on almost every character, you know. So, and because Snatch was kind of the mechanics of the story and the way that there was that many characters was very similar. You know, I just kind of went with the same formula, if you like, you know, because it had the same strengths and same weaknesses, and it, you know, it kind of worked, you know. If there was a, you know, if there was a Greek guy suddenly come on the, you know, on the film, then there'd be some Greek music. You know, if it was a Jewish guy, then we'd have some Jewish music, you know. We just never, ever overthought any of that stuff, you know, because you can drive yourself crazy on a film, you know, where you... You start off, you know, in a traditional kind of film, you drive yourself nuts with trying to get the mechanics of the score right and how it's working thematically with the film and all this kind of stuff. And we just don't get into that stuff with these films, you know. It's like, you know, that guy's a funny guy from Liverpool, so let's do that. And that guy's a bit of a cowboy, so let's do that. And it's actually quite liberating, you know, to sort of not have to do it to like a traditional template. So... whatever worked for Lockstock, we just said, let's kind of do some of the same stuff for Snatch, you know, and, you know, it kind of worked, really.
Mm. Now, is there a, and you've mentioned it's been kind of open when it comes to this, but is there a formula that you follow for the comedy score, the drama score, you know, the sci-fi score? What are your feelings on that?
I think there's probably a formula for everything, you know? Mm-hmm. I've just never kind of cracked any of them. it's kind of the more film to do, the more things I realize about how things kind of are supposed to be done, you know. But to be honest with you, I've never been that interested in, you know, certainly after a certain point, you know, I've never been that interested in kind of sounding like everybody else, you know. And you know, I've never been too concerned about trying to write the perfect score, you know. I mean, for me, I'd rather write something flawed that kind of was at least original or trying to be original, you know? So, you know, the more I've gone on and the more confident, or the more I've got away with doing things my own way, I think the less interested I've become in working out these magic formulas, you know? It's just become less and less important to me, so... yeah, I'm sure there's formulas, but... don't ask me what they are, you know. I just kind of, it's worked so far. I don't want to kind of ruin my mojo at this point, you know, by knowing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I don't really bother with that stuff, to be honest.